Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.
On this episode of Negative Modifier, we'll be playing the game Delta Green. Delta Green is a mature tabletop RPG that tackles various dark and unsettling themes and topics that some listeners may find traumatizing, harmful, or generally uncomfortable. Listener discretion is advised. So what do you do at this point? You have confirmed that at a minimum, something from GB224 has been removed, escaped, taken.
I feel compelled to read through some of these notes at this point, just because like it'll help contextualize the fact that there is something wrong about this ammo case that's been kind of busted up, because I want to see if I can get any kind of context. I know that I just ended up with like wiki hands earlier, but hopefully this isn't going to cause me to lose any of my mind. So I'm just going to dive into reading some of the notes.
Sure. So this is going to take some time, and you are out in the cold. Like, does it make sense to maybe take the notes back to your little kind of headquarters or read them in the car or something? Like, this is not a small amount of paper to digest and kind of sort through and understand, I guess, or comprehend.
Oh yeah, because it's an entire mountain of legal pads. If anything, yeah. I'm gonna rifle through a little bit of them, just kind of check it out and just kind of grab a sample size then, like a handful.
Makes sense.
I'll assist with like grabbing anything else as far as the document stuff goes. So I look at the other two, and I'm still holding the ammo box, and I look over and I say, I know you guys are weird about, you know, taking stuff out of the green box, but should I take this thing here with us?
Which thing are you talking about exactly? The ammo box?
The ammo box, yeah.
Have you looked at what's inside yet?
Yeah, it's empty.
It might be important.
I look over at Agent Sanguine. I go, any objections?
I'm a little wary, but honestly, I think that's just a beat up ammo box. Can you put it in a plastic? Is there a plastic bag around here? Let's put it in a bag and then put it in the car. I mean, there's got to be some stuff in the car to kind of separate it. It's a green box. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, that's fair. You guys got a evidence bag or anything like that? Or did I just try to find a bag in here? But then again, it seems kind of redundant to put something that's in the green box in another bag of the green box to avoid contamination, if you will.
Well, we're taking it with us, right? I mean, like, put it in a bag so we can put it in the trunk.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so I put the ammo box under my arm just to kind of carry it with me. And then I'm holding the paperwork. And then after a second, I'm like, and I just put the paperwork that I'm carrying. I just kind of put it in the opening of the ammo box.
Sure. Yeah. And for what it's worth, finding like a trash bag or something to throw the ammo box in to kind of secure it, for lack of a better phrase, is not that hard to do. Like, this is a storage lockup. There's probably something like that you could grab from somewhere easily accessible.
I'm going to go warm up the car so we can get going.
All right. I'd like to do one more search while we're in there, I guess, to see if there's anything else that stands out before we, head out.
You're going to do one more last look around the green box?
Yeah.
All right.
You want to roll a search or anything?
No. I'm assuming you're kind of closing this up as part of this process.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting ready to close up shop as it's one of those like walking out the door, looking for stuff on the way out kind of thing. You know?
Yeah, so kind of as you're kind of closing it up, maybe putting the lock back on it type of thing, you notice a rucksack with the words McKinley or Bust written on it in faded ink.
Hmm. So I pause for a second and then I kind of walk over to the, you said it's a sack?
Rucksack, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a duffel bag.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and I'll try to open it up. Or actually, I guess before I try to open it up, is it already open or is it all closed up?
It is zipped up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go ahead and try to open it up.
Yeah, so it unzips. Normally, it's just old, not like locked up or wrapped in cellophane or something. Inside of it contains old rope, sealskin mittens, rusted pitons, which are kind of mountaineering gear, and a dark stained ice axe.
Any markings on this, like the axe or any of that stuff, or it just looks like standard gear that has no special markings, if you will?
Much of the rope appears to be frayed and in some places even chewed or gnawed upon, and it's scored in several spots. The ice axe itself is covered in long, dried, black, ichor, like a blood-like substance.
Okay, like basically almost like dried up blood-ish. Kind of look.
It has that appearance, except it's black, as opposed to kind of that, like, dark red that blood turns when it dries.
Gotcha. Okay. Look around. Okay, so I looked at the rope, and saw that, saw the axe, and then there was something else you mentioned that was in there that I... Or was that it?
Nothing to talk about the sealskin mittens.
Yeah. Any like... Is it, like, a standard brand of mittens or anything like that? Or is it, like, some sort of weird... Something that basically stands out.
These are literally mittens made from sealskin, like one might have if you grew up in a more kind of traditional society or native society in an exceptionally cold area that has seals.
Oh, okay. Just any tribal markings then at that point then? Or
it's like something graded on the surface of it, but beyond that, nah. They're just mittens.
After kind of looking through these things here, are there any other pockets I can check, or was that pretty much the extent of everything?
That's more or less it. Yeah, I guess to kind of correct what I said earlier, it's a large backpack, probably more Noah like it as like a military style backpack or something.
Yeah,
it's
got
like,
yeah.
It's got the mole or the kind of clip points on the outside of it and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I was just kind of curious to see if there are any other pocket stuff there. But okay, so after kind of looking through this stuff, I turn. Sanguine's the closest person to me. Star already took off to go start the car. So I turn over to Sanguine and I say, you up for looking at one more thing?
I was going to text the handler just to give him an update on the fact that we checked out the green box. But what's the thing? What was the one last thing?
Well, this, among all the things, is actually probably the more normal of the things that we've found in here. But it just looks like it's a backpack with a few, like, I would say, like, if they went traveling on some ice or anything like that. I got an axe here, some seal skin gloves. Yeah, you check it out. And then I just kind of show the items in the backpack.
What's McKinley?
I don't know. Is that something we can check out and see if it's in our notes? Because, I mean, we're going to be doing a deep dive pretty soon. So just something to note, I guess.
Was this with the ammo box, or was this a completely separate thing?
This was separate. I saw it on my way as I was kind of doing my last little walk around before we walked out of here. So I don't know, just kind of stood out to me.
Do any of you engage in the sport of rock wall or ice wall climbing by any chance?
I do not.
No,
Star does rock wall, but he's not the green box.
Do you have any? I guess, like, are you hearing this conversation though, or no?
I probably went to pull up the vehicle close. So if I've gotten back as the conversation's like hit this point, then yes.
Yeah, I'll say for the sake of kind of putting this mystery to bed quickly, we'll say you overheard it. It's cold. Sound carries. You would probably be able to guess based on kind of contextual clues that McKinley is a reference to Mount McKinley in Alaska, a famous for climbing, like it's an expedition mountain type of thing. So then based on kind of the contents of this bag, one might assume that this was in theory like a climbing rucksack for a McKinley excursion, essentially, or a McKinley trip.
Sounds like you're talking about there's a climbing spot in Alaska with the same name, McKinley, sort of expedition, dangerous.
Huh.
Well, if it's not associated with this whole notebook and ammo box thing, I would honestly just leave it. That's just me, though. I mean, if you're planning on going on an expedition, I guess maybe go ahead and borrow that, but I've got nothing with it.
I can go either way. I don't know. Are you guys comfortable if I do bring it along with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just put it in a plastic bag, too.
That works. And I go ahead and put on the backpack after I've put everything back in there and seal it up.
Makes sense. So it's back to the temporary office, I assume, at this point, or are you trying to stop somewhere else first?
Can you remind us, Charlie, if there was any other points of interest that we would potentially check out while we're out here?
I mean, you could check out the area where the John Doe was found, hypothetically. You could try and track down the your missing contact's address. You have that in theory. You also have this, like, reporting in that something has escaped, would be good mission operation procedure. But you got options. I will say that kind of it's starting to get a little bit late at this point. Like, night's starting to get a little close to falling. Like, you probably have a few hours before sundown, but you're getting close to it.
Well, we better head back to our temp HQ, get a report in, and see where we can rack up for the night. I don't think traveling around out here in the dark is going to do us any good.
Yeah, works for me.
Yeah, we still got to keep cover. We need to at least be there at the end of the day, I feel. Besides, that'll give us some time to actually look through some of these notes. Mountain of information that we've got to sort through. No pun intended with the whole rock climbing business.
I appreciate a good pun. No need to apologize. But yeah, we should probably head back soon and kind of start digging through all this paperwork and see what we can find. I agree.
Next stop, La Fontaine City Utilities.
Yes. Next stop, the La Fontaine Temporary HQ. But I do want to text the handler on the way there just to give them an update on the fact that Green Box is compromised. There's a giant ass hole in it. There's no way that we can safely kind of lock everything up.
Makes sense.
We're trying not to fuck with anything there. We don't want to cross-contaminate, like I said, and we just need to secure a new Green Box.
Makes sense. Yeah, so getting back to La Fontaine Utilities, not so hard. It just takes a little bit of time of kind of slow, safe driving. And yeah, so you kind of unload the various books or the various notepads and start kind of going through them and whatnot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So is the plan to just kind of dig into those things and start trying to kind of piece together what's up with them?
Yeah, at least try to make sense of just all the stuff that we have there. At least try to do some grouping and then, you know,
I want to make it a point that we should visit our contacts' residence tomorrow, if possible, or maybe once we're done here. Just because I would rather do some research as to maybe what could have possibly affected or caused him to just kind of go AWOL. And if these notes will help in any way, it would be more ideal, I guess, than popping in blind.
So to, I guess, kind of summarize your findings, I'm assuming you spent a little time going through these. Your base level understanding of what can be kind of gleaned from all this writing is that whatever was in the ammo box was cut out of the mouth of Albert Tapcha, one of the various people alongside the Sylphate expedition. And whatever that thing was has apparently escaped from Green Box 224. Whatever the thing is, it's from a tropical climate. And whatever this thing is, it seems to cause an increase in kind of confusion and dangerous temptation that combines sex and violence and temptation by those affected by it. There's also several mentions of some kind of hooting sound coming from the trees multiple times throughout the writings. And most importantly of all, Whitehead, the author that was kind of the only survivor of this, was driven to madness, reclusive madness, by whatever happened in the Amazon that connects to this thing.
Are there any, like, I guess, not like mythological, but any old tales of mythical or fantastical things that have these kinds of effects on people in that region?
How up on Brazilian folklore, I guess, is, in theory, Agent Starr?
Well, Agent Starr is really dumb, so I would say not likely at all.
I would say that you probably don't know about this, but I will draw your attention to one of the handouts that has a sketch on it of a strange creature that's kind of not quite half snake, but kind of like lower half is snake-esque and the upper half is kind of monkey-esque in some way, shape, or form.
I see what you're talking about. Like the tail has the little, I can't tell if that's supposed to be spikes or like wavy hairs.
Yeah, the sketch on the page depicts a, it's not quite, yeah, it's not kind of that kind of like Naga half snake, half creature thing, but yeah, it's got the kind of proportions of something ape-like up top, kind of almost like a dog-like head with ears or something like that. And the bottom of it definitely seems to kind of, at least according to the drawing you have access to, seems to depict some type of like tentacle snake-like thing that seems to end in kind of almost like a barbed appendage or kind of like thing at the end, like a stinger maybe or something.
Well, if this thing escaped from the ammo box, and if, as I'm kind of connecting all the dots, it causes a literal sex rage, we're going to need some face protection.
Wait, you're telling me this thing came out of the ammo box like some sort of deranged demon genie thing?
Kind of. Like, look, it here on the same page as the sketch, it reads like he came at me then with that thing writhing out from him. I ended up cutting something off out of him with daddy's Bowie knife. Albert fell backwards, yada, yada, yada. I was pinned under some luggage and the thing was still flopping around in my hand. I slammed it shut inside an ammo box. I can still hear it thrashing around in there. So it's grabbable, I guess, and kind of small. It's discreet, and it causes a sex rage, and it's hyper-violent. So whether or not we're going to need some sort of body protection, if we can get our hands on it, that would probably be the best. We also might have to say that our contact is compromised, because if this weird little monkey parasite is on him, I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to be survivable. I mean, if it comes to it, I could maybe excise it out of him, but it's going to be hard to remove a violent tumor.
Well, maybe we should not wait until tomorrow to swing by his house then.
Yeah, it's probably going to be best to wait. Hold up. I'm just now thinking about something. John Doe had four little pinpricks in his chest, right?
I believe that's correct.
What if, and I point to the little tail end, this weird little anemone thing at the bottom of this little guy's little tail, I guess, is how it attaches.
I'm not a doctor. I don't speculate on that kind of thing, but I'll take your word for it.
I mean, nothing in my medical practice has ever kind of alluded to anything like this, but I'm just trying to use my imagination here, because honestly, anything can happen at this point in time. What if that was happening, right? And then it detached from him and ended up on somebody else.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but if there's something on the loose, it might be one of those times when we just need to brew a pot of coffee, fill up some thermos, and work through the night.
It's probably going to be the best bet. But my question is, if it detached, it could have ended up on our contact, or it could have also ended up on an officer, but he didn't seem angry horny. So never mind. I just needed to vocalize this train of thought, because this just sounds so nuts.
Huh. Get it?
Oh, God damn it. Don't remind me.
Well, I mean, to be fair, angry horny would be a good way to describe what we saw.
It seems like we've got a bearing. I'm going to go put a pot on or see if they've got something brewed up already.
Yeah, tracking down some coffee is pretty easy. You have multiple National Guardsmen about.
Can I track down 3 thermists?
Oh, yeah, that's easy enough to do.
All right, I will get 3 full things of coffee.
How likely do you think it's going to be that we could just steal somebody?
I don't think we need to steal any. I mean, you can just ask for it. We're technically in charge.
Well, we want to keep our cover, right?
Well, that's fair.
We do want to keep our cover, and it's kind of already flimsy enough with the fact that we've just been gone all day. I've signed one thing, and I feel like I should have been signing more.
That's fair.
Here's the thing. You got the National Guard out here, and they're not often called up to do anything, so when they get called up, it's usually exciting for the boys and girls. But they sort of take that thing kind of seriously, so, you know, at the end of the day, they always do a check to make sure that all equipment that went out comes back in. And, you know, you keep that sort of thing under wraps. Whoever's keeping track, the quartermaster, we would have a very short time frame that we'd be able to snag something and get it back without it being noticed gone.
Oh, yeah, we still need to keep cover and up until we leave. Fuck. All right.
Well, we need to keep cover even. Like, they can't, no one can ever suspect that we weren't who, because this won't just go away when we leave if someone suspects that we're not who we think we are, who we are.
Yeah, all of my previous operations have been a little touch and go when it comes to covers and whatnot. We never really had to establish an MO with anything.
Yeah.
Well, what time is it at the moment?
I will say we're getting close to, like, 3-4 in the afternoon. The issue is because of winter, that's getting close to sundown too.
Hmm.
All right, let's get a move on.
I'm gonna do some housekeeping. I'm gonna check in at least just to kind of keep up appearances and what.
Yeah, I was gonna say someone should go check in and sign any documentation that they might need signed.
Yeah, probably a good call.
If anything, while I'm doing that and whatnot, you two can kind of gather as much stuff as we can, I guess, and figure out what's going on. This thing originated from Brazil. Do you think we can kind of look around on the power grid to see which, I don't know, if there's like a hot spot of like power usage? Because if this is kind of like a flash freeze and whatnot, do you think that it's going to try to find like a source of heat?
Looking on the grid is a good idea. If you recall, I'm pretty sure that's what the officer wanted us to do.
Well, yeah. Anyway, while I keep up appearances, if you two can figure some information out on that, that would be absolutely grand. I grab a pen and I head into business mode.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you two. If you need something moved, something big, or you need something fought, that's kind of my thing. All this admin backend stuff, I'm really not that good at.
Well, that's fine. I can do the looking into the hotspot stuff.
Well, it looks like we're gonna need a knife, so I guess main priority, find a knife, maybe some guns other than the ones we have.
I already have a knife. I'll look around and see what I can do on that front.
Cool, go team. Give a little curt nod and head into the hustle and bustle at the end of the day.
Sure. Yeah, the National Guard has plenty of stuff to do as part of this. They are here on relief, after all. How aggressive are you going to be with trying to acquire weapons, Agent Star?
I mean, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to walk around and see where the quote-unquote armory would be set up, and like how diligent the National Guard are being about keeping an eye on like key locations, like whatever their makeshift armory is, the various other places around HQ.
So the reality is, because this is a relief mission, they didn't come armed for bear. They came armed for kind of emergency purposes. Like, this, it's not like there's like a zombie uprising or like something that would require lots of guns here. They're here more just kind of as like relief workers, if that makes sense. Like, they're here to help dig people out of houses and unstuck cars and
I gotcha.
Stuff, that's right. So the number of weapons, like, they definitely brought hardware, but it's not a lot of hardware. And what hardware they have is kind of purely there for, I don't want to say riot control, because it doesn't seem like I'm being kind of genuine about what the National Guard does, but like, it's kind of that, like, it's there to kind of make sure that the supplies they've brought in are secure. So the number of guns just available, not high.
So I guess under that same line of thinking, then, do they have a system for checking the guns in and out at end of day or end of shift?
Probably a pretty aggressive one. Yeah. Like, there's probably a whole like list of here's who's allowed to have them. And like, if I had to guess, there's maybe 10 guns here, probably, type of thing.
Okay. So they're keeping very good track of them.
Yeah.
Now, they've been digging people out and everything. Have there been any like found like weaponry or anything that's been recovered in like relief efforts or anything that they've secured? I can't imagine that they would grab them, but I guess
that's not really a thing they'd be up to. Like, it's kind of that awkward one where it's like the state of emergency is courtesy of the weather, and they're not trying to like put down a militia or something. It's not looking to arm up. Like, it's purely a getting people to warm shelter and making sure kind of food is properly distributed, and kind of like maybe they're lending a hand to like the wiring crews, or maybe they're helping to clear roads or something like that. They're not really here as a military operation. They're here as kind of extra relief support.
Where can you please remind me where we are again?
LaFontaine, Missouri.
Now, I don't know this, but Charlie, you are worldly. Does Missouri have aggressive wildlife?
Like, what do you define as aggressive wildlife, I guess? Like, you looking for bears? Or are you looking for, like, something more exotic?
Well, I know, like, in rural areas, sometimes, like, having a weapon is less about, like, the hobby of having a gun or something like that, and more about dealing with the fact that you live in a place where, like, large, dangerous wild hogs can attack, because they're just aggressive animals.
Yeah, probably the most dangerous things in Missouri from a wildlife perspective are bears or mountain lions / pumas. And the second one's going to be real rare to run into. You're not rural enough that kind of that would be the go-to, I guess. Like, this is a small city town type of situation. This is not some, the post office is also the grocery store, is also the DMV, is also the town hall type situation.
Gotcha. Then I think that I'm just looking for like targets of opportunity to acquire weapons. And anything beyond that, I'm not looking to start a scheme to break into whatever little room that they have for checking weapons.
So I guess my question then becomes, like, what are you defining as a weapon? Like, is a military shovel weapon enough? Are you looking for like capital W weapons?
I would be looking for like, yeah, a military shovel would be enough. Those are pretty heavy duty. I guess also I'm on the lookout for chemicals and whatnot that could be used, or supplies that could be used to make makeshift explosives.
Okay, yeah.
Which might be a little more accessible.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a search on that one, and we'll kind of, this is plenty of medical supplies that can be repurposed into dangerous items.
Well, I can tell you I have demolition. Very bad at searching. I feel lucky. I should not have said that, because I rolled a 44 fumble out of 21.
Yeah, so you're searching around for stuff, and you kind of start going through a medical cabinet, because it's got the flammable symbol on the side of it, and one of the National Guardsmen walks up behind you. What the hell are you doing?
Huh? Me?
Why are you messing with our fucking medical supplies?
I'm looking to see if you guys got extra insulin. Extra insulin.
You diabetic?
Yeah, my stash got fucked up on the way here.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we got some of that. Just go to the medical stuff, though, too. Like, we got to keep this all cataloged and whatnot. If you need it, I'm sure they can hook you up with it, type of thing. That's, you know, kind of what we're here to be doing, making sure people don't die from extenuating circumstances. Look real bad if one of you FEMA boys did that on us.
No, I mean, you're right, that's the thing I should have been doing, but I wasn't trying to take up resources that could be put to better use, you know.
Kind of like, he looks at you at that. So you were trying to not take up resources, by rifling through the resources.
Well, I don't want to take skilled labor, i.e., you know, a doctor or a medic, and go to them and take their time up if I can.
Don't you normally, like, give yourself insulin shots? Like,
well, yeah, exactly. But I what I'm saying is I didn't want to bother the medic.
I mean, we'd have to, like, check it out and keep account of it and all that shit, but,
Well, I mean, I was going to run account of it anyways, you know, sort of what we're here, oversight for and everything. You know, I know how to keep track of that kind of stuff. But no, I mean, you're right.
Uh-huh. Well, so if you need this insulin, yeah, come with me. I'll get you to the right person to get you hooked up.
I'll have to do it when I get back.
You going somewhere? It's going to get dark and dangerous out there.
Yeah, we got one more run. We need to go check on some how some of the power poles are holding up over on. I'll give a general, like, we know the street on which our guy lives on, right? Because we have his address.
You do, yeah.
I'll just say that street.
Sure, yeah, and he kind of looks at you. We can send a team over there or something. What's so special about this address? Like, something funky going on with the power grid or something?
No, nothing. Nothing like that. It's just one of the random audit things we have to do in situations like this. Look, man, I don't make the parameters that we need to follow. I just have to follow them. I've got a checklist I need to go down, me and my crew. So we're doing it. And better us be doing this and wasting our time doing it rather than yours. The guys digging people out of snow winds and whatnot.
You feeling okay? If you need insulin, I know that can kind of like lead to medical shit or something. Here, let's go get you hooked up, and that's a whole lot of nonsense. We can just send a team to check that out for you or something. I'm going to sending you out there to kind of go deal with any kind of, puts a hand around you a little bit forcefully, trying to steer you towards the medical setup.
As somebody who is also strong, I put my hand on his back and I say, I appreciate your concern, but I have work to do, and so do you. I take his hand off of me, and I tell him, unless you're duty, I'm sure you should be on patrol or something.
All right, so how do you want to play this? Like, what do you... Is this a... You trying to persuade in this situation or kind of just trying to...
No, I'm trying to, like, you know when, like, two, like, overly, people who are too overly macho and, like, fragile masculinity, like, come up against each other and they try to, like, out-macho each other?
That's kind of what I was guessing, yeah.
Yes.
All right, what's your charisma like?
My charisma is a 7.
Give me a strength at minus 10.
Could I give you an athletics, perhaps?
Nah, this is some dumb alpha male bullshit flexing going on right
now. You know,
now.
I don't even know why I asked. My athletics is worse, so...
This is some, like, look how big my bicep shit is.
God damn it, I rolled a 94 out of a modified 75 fail.
Yeah, so the guy starts kind of pushing you along, and he recognized that you tried to kind of pull this shit. He's like, even remarks on it, he's like, yeah, you seem in oddly good shape for a diabetic. But you all were kind of like fragile, made of glass or some shit.
Hey, that's fucked up.
Let's get you some insulin. How about gotta keep you healthy and whatnot.
Oh boy, would you look at the time. what's your name?
Sanchez. What? Why?
Hey, what's your rank, Sanchez?
Kind of looks at you. It's private. Most of us here are privates.
Okay. I understand that you've probably got nothing better to do right now than deal with this. But this is not a problem. I know when I need my next shot. Okay, this is an offhanded thing I was checking before we rode out. I really do have to go. If it makes you feel better, when we get back, I will go to the med bay, sign in, and I'll let the medic know that he should tell you that I made it. But I gotta get going.
Give me a persuade.
And we're hitting all the great skills I'm really good at. 84 out of a 21 failure.
So Sanchez slowly stops pushing you, but he relents and he's like, fine. go do what you got to, but he's definitely going to remember you and probably check up on this later. Like, this is, he's not buying any of this, but like, the reputation of the FEMA people around base at this point is probably not the best. So you acting weird might just seem like par for the course for him at this point. Who knows, type of situation, but he's definitely going to remember this at least. Maybe report that a member of the FEMA oversight board was tampering with medical supplies or something like that. Who knows?
All right.
But you are free to leave now.
Awesome. I that's probably wasted most of the time that I had while the others were doing their thing. So I will get ready to leave.
Yes, that was a large waste of valuable time, unfortunately. But yeah. Jumping to Agent Snail. What are you kind of doing to research this? Like, what are you looking up?
Obviously, I'm jumping into the computer system since my job was to kind of look for the hotspot stuff. So
yeah, that's easy enough.
Yeah, I was just going to pull the program stuff and kind of go from there and see what the fluctuations were in terms of usage and whatnot, or at least try to figure that out, if you will.
Well, I guess let me rephrase my question. You're trying to kind of use the deputy's hunch on this one, like you're looking to see if your contact's house in theory had power, like. What are you focusing on? Or are you just pulling a general list of all the places that in theory have power and therefore have heat?
I would say the latter is probably what I was going to start with, just to see like, well, no, I think I was just going to start with like power usage more than anything else. Cause did we have access to seeing the heat, the usage? Cause I thought this was power company only. Is this also?
That's what I'm saying. Power might in theory mean heat.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to start with like power for now. And
yeah, so you can get a list of places that have power relatively easily. I guess, like, it's about half the town has power back. Like, it's not just, like, little points of light in the dark type of situation. It's a pretty useless kind of batch of information, hypothetically, without something to compare it against.
Hmm. So am I able to kind of generate, like, a specific location then? Or is it just kind of like a general area?
It'll give you addresses that, in theory, have power.
Okay, then yeah, let me go ahead and pull up the current list of like who has most usage. And then I do want to go back and kind of reference, I guess, the days where we had like, I guess, some of the incident stuff going on. Can I pull up logs of those days and see if they keep logs as far as back as that time goes? I don't know if they like recycled logs at that point.
What are you trying to do, I guess? Just like look at places that have had fluctuating power usage? That's just kind of normal. What places would have done? I guess, like, what's the end goal for what you're trying to figure out?
Yeah, well, fluctuating power usage for sure. Obviously, there's going to be a general kind of spike. People who have power are going to try to heat their homes and all that stuff. But, like, I guess maybe, like, if there were areas that had a huge influx more than normal, kind of, or more than, like, the standard range of where people would kind of have an increase huge because of, like, a storm or things like that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm not sure you'd have the context to do that necessarily, because like, what's normal power usage? And like, hypothetically, every house that still has power is probably pulling more power or like comparable power to keep warm. Like, it's not like you can, it's not completely true, but like, there's only so much you can turn the heat up at the end of the day, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like, you can't run the lights extra bright to generate more heat. Like, it's kind of your house or home or apartment has a maximum amount of power it can draw. Needing it to pull that max amount is kind of hard and probably not something you'd be doing during a disaster like this. But also, like, that's like, I'm going to run every appliance I have and the dishwasher and the washing machine and like have the fridge open and crank the heat all the way up and like every light on blast and charge every phone possible. Like, it's, you'd run out of outlets probably before you kind of got really above or noticeably above a power consumption, unless you were like running a crypto mining rig out of your garage or something. I guess like a grow up or something. But yeah, like, it's, you'd have to have some other non-traditional power consumption to kind of like cause a spike that would be noticeable like that.
Then I'm not really sure what kind of stuff I'm going to be looking for if I can't really differentiate that. Like,
I mean, you could look up houses around the area where the John Doe was found that might or might not have power. But that's what the detective was trying to get you to do for him.
Well, yeah, that's right, he did want that. Okay, yeah, then I well, from the day that the John Doe was found, I'm guessing. Yeah. Well, then I can still pull historic logs then still, right? Yeah. I think we stop. Okay, then that's what I'll do. I'll pull up logs of the places that have power around the area where the John Doe was found.
Yeah, you find one house that has consistently had power through the entire storm. 1824 West Ambrosia Street.
Do they still currently have power? Can I pull that up?
Yeah, it's got power still.
Okay.
Not a hard and fast rule, but generally speaking, I think it's safe to assume if a building has power at this point, it will probably continue to have power. The storm is over. You're kind of in the aftermath of it.
Okay. Okay, so I'll go ahead and write that down just as a reference point. Approximately, well, how far is that house from the from where the John Doe was found?
It's nearby. I'm just saying that's the closest house to the location where the phone booth was, where the John Doe was found, that's consistently had power. It's like nearby, but not like right next to it type of situation.
Okay, cool. Then I'll go ahead and get that written down, and then I will log out of there. At that point, I think I've got pretty much everything I need.
All right. Last but not least, Agent Sanguine, what were you kind of busying yourself with during all of this? Just making sure people had proper forms filled out and kind of making your presence known that you were indeed there?
Basically, I was mustering every single bureaucratic know-how that I had to look like I belonged. Basically being like, all right, I think I could just be a people manager. I'm here to people manage. That's my cover. So I'm going to manage some people.
What's your bureaucracy?
My bureaucracy is at 50.
Give me a bureaucracy at plus 20.
A 6% success.
Yeah, you've done a fantastic job of making up for lost time. Like, I would say that you've even managed to kind of steer into people being annoyed with how present you are at this point. Like, you're not just like, okay, yeah, they're fucking doing their job. It's get off my back, dude. Seriously.
If by overcompensating by the missing time to becoming like, oh, yes, I am the bureaucratic machine, well-oiled and well-coffeed, I think that just helps establish a good cover of like, oh, shit, this person knows what he's doing. And even worse, they're super competent at it, which means that I have to work harder. I want to be so competent at my job that people want to avoid me.
Yeah, no, you've kind of maybe not fully achieved that, but like you've managed to achieve that. Like, man, it sure would be great if the fucking supervisor wasn't here to keep staring over our shoulder constantly. Levels of people being annoyed you're there, essentially canceling out. Yeah, where are the FEMA people? It's like, God, they were all over us, like checking everything, like everything in triplicate, going over files. Like, we know what we're doing. Like, you've managed to successfully swing it from what exactly are they doing to, remember when they weren't here? Wasn't that great?
Hell yeah.
Yes, you were exceptionally successful in dealing with that whole situation. So, yeah. All right, so yeah, about an hour has passed. The sun is beginning to set. It's starting to get a little bit colder out, which maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. You'll find out, I suppose. Get in the car and kind of going off to, what address are you going to? You gotta go and check out your contact first, or are you going to 1824 West Ambrosia Street?
How far away are they from each other?
They're not close. They're in kind of separate parts of town. To be fair, though, Skip Mills' house, your contact, is a few miles from where you're at currently. The other one is much farther.
I mean, we're coffeed up. Why don't we hit both? Contact first, and then we'll swing back and hit the Ambrose one.
I think that's a pretty solid plan. Hopefully, I was able to kind of make up for lost time in terms of cover. I think I was so good at being a supervisor that people are going to try to stay away from us. So maybe that'll get them off our backs for a second.
Hey, if you're like that, you mind writing up a medical supplies audit for me?
Oh, do you need a fake prescription? Because I could absolutely do that.
Yeah, that would be great for insulin.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I can make that happen.
Look, one of the National Guard's guys caught me snooping around in some of the medical supplies.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I could also just play it off that as auditing the med kits, making sure that they had everything that they needed in them and people were doing their due diligence. But
well, what did you tell him first?
I told him I was just looking for extra shots of insulin. I told him that mine went bad on the way over.
Okay. Well, if anything, I'll go ahead and write you a script next time we have the chance to. If I can grab some of the... I think I might have packed some stuff, but we'll figure it out. I'll write you a script and we'll see if we can kind of make cover.
I mean, worst comes to worst, I think Sanchez and this guy and I are probably going to get into a fist fight and it'll be settled after that, but...
Jeez, like that, dude?
What's that?
I said, like that? That's a interaction you had there?
I mean, you know, sort of military culture thing.
Yeah, I know nothing about that. If that's what you say it's going to happen, I'm going to go ahead and just say, sure, why not?
I mean, it might happen. I don't know, maybe the time's changed.
I'll just take your word for it.
I'm not going to kind of want to see how that goes down. But first things first, let's check Skip's. Hopefully we don't have to run into anything hairy.
All right, so you're off to Skip Mills' home?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so give me a drive, whoever's driving, to kind of see how long this takes.
Who has anything above a 20?
I have 54.
Through rain, sleet, or snow, baby.
Let's go, baby. Holy shit.
My God, I was wearing my seatbelt, by the way. Sorry, that's probably not true. I'm a cop. We know that you used to wear seatbelts.
100 out of 54 fumble.
Whew. I'm doing great, by the way. So the curse is passed, my guys.
This is your time.
Well, so the good news is you get within uncomfortable walking distance of Skip Mills' house. The bad news is, where's Agent Snail from originally?
Agent Snail is originally from the Pacific Northwest up in Portland.
Yeah, so you should just be better at this. Like,
well, we're a rain area, not so much a snow area. Portlanders suck at snow.
Yeah, but still, you should just be better at this. And it. Yeah, you kind of like you go and hit the brakes and the car keeps going and going and going. The anti-lock brakes are starting to pump as you are slowly sliding down a hill, picking up more and more speed. What do you do?
I turn over to the guys and I go, I'm hitting the brakes and this car's still moving.
How fast are we going, Charlie?
You started off kind of slow because you were starting to brake, but picking up speed slowly.
You want to give me like a just a gauge and about how fast we're going?
You're probably getting at least to 10 miles an hour relatively fast.
All right, I'm getting out of the car.
Yeah. We might want to abandon ship. Guys, this car's not stopping.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding. And like, I start tapping the brakes like over and over.
I guess an important question before we abandon ship, Charlie, how steep is the hill?
Steep enough your car is sliding on it, not so steep you're gonna like have major problems.
Okay, actually probably safer to stay in the car. I'm gonna buckle up. Actually, hold on, I do not buckle up. Instead I jump out of a moving vehicle.
All right, give me a dexterity or a athletics.
20% out of 80 success.
All right, so you successfully get out of the car and kind of like hit the ground hard and slide some through the ice and the snow. It's a hard landing, though. Like, it's a very uncomfortable one. So I'm going to make you suffer 1 point of damage for that as you kind of hit the ground. You leapt out of a moving vehicle. Like, not a smart move.
You're on the best day. Yeah, you're being kind. I appreciate this.
Snail, Sanguine, what do you do?
I look at Sanguine and I go, shall we?
What do I do? Do I just... leave? Do I have to, like, roll?
As Sanguine is saying that, I've already unbuckled my seatbelt and opened my door, and I go ahead and do the same thing.
How fast are we going? You said 10 miles an hour? Has it picked up since, like, the two have bailed?
It's slowly getting faster and faster.
Okay, cool. I attempt to do the same thing.
Well, so, let me interject for a second. At 54 driving, Agent Snail would know the age-old saying of steer into the skid. Do you want to attempt that or do you just want to jump out of the car?
Okay. You know what? I will attempt to steer to the skid. I appreciate the You know what? Let's go ahead and try that. Okay, yeah. So I'll go ahead and steer into the skid then.
All right, let's see a drive check.
Okay. 96 out of 54 failure.
We're just spinning.
So it started off as a slow slide, has turned into full-on spinning, making exiting the car much more dangerous.
Yeah, what do I see, Charlie?
So from the outside observer, you see a car moving at like 10 miles an hour, but slowly picking up speed as it slides down the hill. Like, it is consistently but gradually picking up speed. You then probably see Snail on the inside, like, turn hard into the slight direction you were drifting, kind of keeping the brake on, and then the car just starts to spin like a top. Like, it's getting no traction. Like, there wasn't that much of a skid going on yet, but now you've made it infinitely worse.
Yeah, so, like, at first when I get out, they probably don't hear me, but I'm like, bail. You gotta bail. And as it starts to go down faster, he's like, bail! Bail out! Oh, shit, don't bail!
Yeah. It's not spinning super fast yet, but again, as it travels down, the spin and the speed are increasing. What do you do, Agent Stale and Agent Sanguine?
Oh, I'm panicking. I'm from San Diego. I don't
you
know
raise a fair point. Give me a sand check.
God damn it.
Helplessness, baby.
40% success.
All right, you take no sand damage, but definitely a feeling of helplessness of, despite like all that you've seen as a Delta Green agent, goddamn driving accident might be what takes you out. You feel that almost.
Okay, so I don't have to hit helplessness.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
But it's very much there. Like, you can, maybe your life is flashing for your eyes a little bit at this point. Like, you can see the danger of what's going on. All right. So with that in mind, what are you doing, Agent Snail and Agent Sanguine? Are you just got to brace for impact at this point? You got to try and bail despite the rapid increasing dangers of that. Like, what's the plan?
Question. I know it's spinning, but like, is this hill, like, can I see past a little bit on the horizon? What's beyond that hill, or the little downhill, or is it just like I'm falling into off a cliff, essentially?
Oh, no, you're not going to fall off a cliff. Like, you're just in a relatively suburban neighborhood. Like, the danger is more that like the car hits something and hits it hard, or like has something fall on it as part of the impact, or like you get trapped inside as part of the impact, or not get knocked unconscious or something. Yeah, like it's the other danger is you pick up enough speed that you hit something hard.
Somehow part of me wants to think that it's safer for me to stay in the car and take the impact than it would be to jump out and potentially in the dexterity check fall out and then fucking get run over by part of the car.
That is definitely a wise observation at this point. Yes.
So I'm going to make sure I'm buckled in and I'm going to just brace for impact at this point.
Agent Sanguine.
Well, if that's what Agent Snail is doing and he's the one who seems like he understands what he's doing, I'm going to try to do the same thing. Worst case scenario, I know first aid. If I get knocked out, well, that's not very helpful.
All right. So you're just bracing for crash at this point?
Brace for a crash. Unless we can somehow fucking utilize that rope and ice pick to slow us down. But I think that's going to be a worse idea.
Unfortunately, no. Not at this exact time. So let's talk about accidents, which is by all purposes ramming in this case. The good news is you're moving at low speeds, which means it's 1d6, 2d6 damage. And more importantly, you have tried to brace some for this. So for both of you, how do you go about bracing? You trying to just like wedge yourself into something, trying to like trigger the seatbelt to kind of like hold on to you better? What are you doing for this?
Obviously, I'm not going to put my hands right in front of the steering wheel so that it smacks me in the fucking face when the airbag goes off. So it's more along the lines of like trying to like stiffen my body up enough that like, but move body parts out of the way that it won't fly at me, if you will. So putting my arms in a safe spot, I guess trying to like stiffen my body against the seat to like try to brace myself for the impact on that. But I do have a follow-up question really quick. Aren't these trucks relatively armored? So like they're kind of aid for taking an impact if there's ever a situation?
No, this is just like a utility truck. This is not some fancy military thing. Like you did not go through the process of getting a good vehicle.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, then I'm basically just going to, like, put my body in a safe kind of position and not, like, put my arms in the way where I smack myself when the impact happens because of the airbag kind of situation.
I'm going to give you guys a chance to kind of have the damage on this thing because there's going to be a collision. What do you want to roll to kind of brace yourself more effectively?
I want to roll unarmed combat to fight against the wreck.
No.
No, I know.
I'm thinking strength or athletics.
Fuck, those are two.
Maybe intelligence if you want to try and, like, think your way into a better kind of bracing position.
Would power work in a way?
No, that's willpower. I'm sorry, you cannot will the car crash to go better.
I mean, if I believe I'm not going to hurt myself in a car crash, if I believe it enough.
No.
Fuck. Okay. My best chance, honestly, is to roll intelligence. So I'd like to, like, my angle will be to, like, okay, I know if I put myself in a certain spot, I can try to reduce the chance of sustaining a really bad injury. So I would like to do intelligence since I have enough time to brace myself for impact and find a good spot.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You mean int?
Are you fucking kidding me? 77 out of 55 fumble.
Sanguine, what are you rolling for this?
Oh my god.
Okay, so Sanguine is just going to not Hail Mary it, but he's just like, all right, I think I've seen enough car crashes or whatever the heck, or I've heard enough about car crash accidents and whatnot. So he's going to pull the seatbelt so it locks in. And I would like to use psychotherapy if I can to go through, like, calming exercises and breathing exercises to get my body to relax, because the most drunk people end up having the least amount of injuries because their body's not tensed up and, like, super rigid during a car crash. So they can just kind of go with the flow.
Sure.
So that's how he's thinking about that, and he's going to try to just...
I was wondering if the drunks that survive car crashes argument was about to happen. That's a bit of a misnomer, but I'll allow it in this case. So yeah, give me a psychotherapy. See if you can kind of loosey-goosey your way through this.
I'm going to loosey-goosey my way through this. 12% success. He just started chanting... not chanting, but he just started, like, mantraing the text on a Dr. Bronner soap bottle to himself to just get him to kind of focus on not dying.
Again, jumping to Agent Starr's perspective, this is all kind of playing out in slow motion for you. Not that the world is slowing, it's that, like, this is not a fast accident by any measure. You jump out of the car, it starts to slide, it starts to spin. It picks up, we'll say about, like, it gets to maybe about 20 miles an hour by the end of the hill type of thing, and it just slams hard into another car. Sirens go off, lights start flickering, airbags deploy. Agent Sanguine, give me 1d6 damage. Agent Snail, give me 2d6 damage.
Oh, fuck.
4. That's a third of my health.
8.
We all still alive after that?
Yeah, no, I'm alive. Yeah. Just holy shit.
Yeah, so airbags deploy. Agent Snail, you didn't quite get your arm clear, so it snaps back and just hits you hard in the face. And you definitely hear something pop or snap, and maybe your ribs hurt after this. Like, you did everything wrong when it comes to airbags. Agent Sanguine, yeah, the drunk method seemed to work a little bit too well, maybe. Like, it's, you still hurt from this, but could have been worse. Like, you can see the blood that got knocked out of Agent Snail's face kind of coming down the airbag as it kind of drips down it at this point. Like, worse things could have happened, obviously. But what do you do at this point, Agent Starr?
I, like, get off the road and into some of, like, I assume they're, like, snowed in grass.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into that, and I'm going to, like, jog down the hill.
Yeah, you get there safely.
I'm going to look in and I'm going to say, you guys should have bailed. Oh, you look bad, Snail.
Agent Snail, give me a luck check.
Okay. Rolling luck. 5 out of 50 success.
You are not unconscious.
I was just going to ask if that, like, that hit would have knocked me out.
Maybe you'd liked it if two, but you are not unconscious, thankfully.
Okay.
Probably concussed, not unconscious, though.
Okay. I'm definitely not going to be making sense for a few minutes, so I'm, like, babbling for a bit, considering I literally took massive fucking hit based off that 2d6.
You don't have to tell me the exact number, but can you give me an idea of, like, how close to, like, very, almost dead you are?
I'm at 5 HP.
Okay, yeah.
From 13.
I look at Sanguine and Snail, and it's like, all right, you gotta help me get him out. I mean, you're the doctor. Look at him.
Let me just get my fucking bearings and whatnot. Get him out. Make sure that, well, is he concussed? How's his neck? Snail, are you right? Okay, cool. He's not dead. All right, let me help. God, help me out of this car. Help me out first.
Yeah, I will help Sanguine out.
All right. I do a check on myself. Other than, like, the fact that I'm solid, I think I'm okay. Nothing broken, nothing sprained, or nothing broken. Probably a couple bruises, whatever the heck.
Yeah.
But I'm going to head over to the driver's side, and I will diagnose Snail as best I can. What's going on? Like, does he have any obvious, like, bleeding or anything else like that, other than just kind of his face? Does it seem as if he has, like, broken limbs or whatever the heck?
His arm is shoved back in a bit of a weird direction, courtesy of the airbag. His nose is definitely bleeding some from the impact. There's no, like, bones sticking out by any measure, but that was a heavy hit. Maybe something cracked, maybe something bleeding internally. You wouldn't have a great way of knowing at this exact second from the outside.
All right.
I'll step up and use my knife to cut away the airbag so Sanguine has a easier time getting in there.
Cool. This is going to suck a lot, but I need to staunch as much bleeding as possible. Can you breathe through your mouth? Are you all right? Do you feel as if you have any blood falling back into your throat? Can you respond to me? Talk to me.
So upon hearing that, I mean, obviously I took a fucking shot to the face with my arm in the airbag. So I'm assuming I have a busted nose or anything like that. Like, I guess based off the roll and everything like that, can you tell me what kind of extent of injuries I should be expecting here? Like, I'm guessing at least a broken nose.
Yeah.
Concussed, perhaps.
Definitely a broken nose, probably concussed, maybe a cracked rib or two. Like, the reality is airbags, they will save your life. They will mess up your day in the process, though, too. Like,
gotcha. Okay. So kind of look over to, like, Sanguine. And obviously, when I look over, you can see the, like, flow of blood coming out of my nose. And I cough briefly, and you can tell the cough sounds wet, like if there's a little bit of, like, liquid going in there. That's like, yeah, kind of. And I'm, like, trying to, like, breathe a little bit, and then, like, obviously when I take a breath with my nose, I'm like, oh fuck, I think my nose is busted. And then I just, like, start breathing out of my mouth. But yeah, you can tell it's just obviously more on the labored, because I'm trying to, like, catch my bearings, but there's also blood around here, so it's just like, yeah.
Cool. Go ahead and I need you to look at me real quick, and then see if you could follow my finger. All right, thank you. Hey, Stark, is there any cardboard or anything else like that around, or anything that we can kind of put Snail on? See if we can make a makeshift sled and just at least get him off the road. Or, like, how far are we from where we need to be? Like, what's around us right now?
This is a, like, utility vehicle. There's probably, like, a thermal blanket in there or something, right?
Yeah.
I'll grab that.
Yeah, grab the med kit. Grab the med kit. We're going to try to get him. I'm going to have to probably pop his arm back into place if it's dislocated. It's not looking great. Christ.
I would like to see if I can make a makeshift sled so that way I can move Snail off the road onto the sidewalk if he can't walk all too well. Snail, can you walk right now, or are you good?
I think so.
I need you to come with me to the sidewalk, or at least let's try to see if we can get to ourselves to some flat ground so we're not slipping or falling or anything else like that.
Okay. So I very carefully and painfully try to move where Sanguine had asked me to kind of start heading towards. But yeah, it's obviously very slow and very painful. And my eyes are kind of closed because obviously my sinuses are in pain from the busted nose. And so I can't really see that well.
I'll be supporting you.
The cold actually probably feels good on the injuries, honestly. Like, it definitely seems to hits the inflammation, and that like probably stings some, but it probably feels good in the long run.
Yeah. Do I fall down onto the sled, or do I get on this sled thing or cardboard?
You're mobile
or whatever?
Still, like, nothing's broken, at least in your legs, as best you can tell. Like, again, the reality is, like, you'll probably be sore at least for a few days at a minimum after this. Like, nothing's, again, I keep going back to maybe you have a cracked rib or two. Like, you definitely have a broken nose. Could this be better? Absolutely. Is this the worst injury you've ever sustained? Probably not. It feels bad in the moment. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's going to feel worse once the adrenaline wears off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess I kind of get I'm starting to come, like, get a little more stabilized as time is going on. But yeah, I'm like definitely just not 100% there right now.
Yeah. So is the plan to sit there on the side of the road for a few minutes and kind of recuperate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question. So Dr. Abel Mueller, Dr. Sanguine, is not exactly the most, I mean, he's an ethical practitioner, but at the same time, he kind of has a little side gig. Snail, quick question. Don't ask me why I have this, but do you have any kind of medical allergies?
No.
All right. Do you have any history of addiction in your family or anything else like that?
Not that I know of.
All right. Do you prefer codeine or Vicodin?
I don't care.
All right. Well, here's this. Can you dry swallow? Do you need to? Do we need it? Well, actually, you know what? Let's not have you start choking on anything while you're under my care, especially after this. I think there's going to be water in those bags. I hope those water's in those bags. Hey, Star, do we have any water in the medical bags?
I'll check.
Yeah, you find water. You'd also know you can melt snow into water if need be.
As that's going on, I'm going to scoop up some of the snow and put it on top of my face to try to help with some of just the pain for whatever reason, because the cold feels nice.
Yeah, keep doing that. Keep doing that. And then I just kind of pop a couple of Vicodins into my hand and grab the water from Star and kind of have them ready for when you're able.
I'll grab them and then I'll, you know, I'll do my best to basically little by little take the Vicodin and drink it down. And yeah.
All right.
After I finish drinking the last one, I look over and say, thanks, Doc. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. I was losing my head too. Just was basically copying what you're doing. Looks like I kind of got the least not winning lottery ticket, but was able to get away a little bit better than you did. Christ. Shit, Star, how far are we from Skips?
Like 5 minutes.
Okay. Let's wait for the painkillers to kind of kick in for Snail here, I think. Just because we need to figure out what the fuck to say when all of a sudden we've got to deal with the government-issued truck that we just now have crashed.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it.
So, as you stand there, your breath visible from the cold spiraling up above you, you hear off in the distance a deep hooting sound. Not like an owl, more like a human of some kind, or maybe an ape of some kind, trying to communicate in loud, kind of deep-chested hoots. You're five or six of them, and then they stop. You're a few more. No response, as best you can tell, or no conversation of whatever this is happening. But something definitely is out there. On behalf of all of us at Negative Modifier, thank you for listening, and we do hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to support the show, please consider rating or reviewing us on your platform of choice, or supporting the show over on our Patreon. In addition to that, if you would like to chat about episodes or with the cast in general, please consider joining our Discord server. Links to all of this and more can be found below in the show notes.
Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.